Okay, happy post-Thanksgiving. Now, it's good to be here again with you. I'm very blessed. And so we do have a guest. I just want to introduce, this is my son Wesley over there in the red. And he's a student at UCI, and I'm studying computer science. Okay. If you have the bulletin, we are going to be talking about faith, because I was asked by your church, you were talking about faith and putting faith in action. So I'm going to ask us if we can read the scripture together. I like to do this as kind of a tradition for us to stand when we read God's word, just in honor of God's word. So I ask you to stand. I'll be reading it. What I want you to do, because we're talking about faith, so when you see the word faith, okay, so it's here in your bulletin, I'd like you at least to say the word faith, okay, with me, or if you'd like to read it all along, just when we come to faith, okay? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land promised, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she was considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even to one man, and to him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars in heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they were looking for a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from that which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare to hear from God's word? God, we thank you that you are God that is here, that is with us, and even us understanding by faith, you've revealed yourself to us. So I ask that this evening, as we look at your word, God, that our ears would be open to hear from you. And Lord, that you would help our minds to be clear and undistracted so we can understand your word. And God, we ask that our eyes would be open to see not just things that are in the physical realm, but that which is in spiritual reality. And we ask, Lord, that our hearts would be responsive to what your word has to say, and I ask for the empowering by your Holy Spirit to speak your word clearly and effectively. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May you please be seated. I don't know about you, but have you ever got lost going someplace? You know, you thought that you knew where you're going, but you got lost. I had that happen to me a couple years ago. I was going to a place because I was down here in Irvine, and then I was going to go to a friend's because I needed to pick up some bicycle clothing and all. And so I, like, knew where I was going. Yeah, I knew where I was going, but then, you know, you're driving, and then sometimes you take the wrong turnoff off the freeway. Well, that's okay, no problem, because I kind of knew that this is in the general direction of where it is, right? Because I have like an internal GPS of kind of knowing where I was. But then, you know, I'm driving along, and then, you know, you get that little light on your dashboard, that the little gas pump that goes off is like, oh my goodness, you're running out of gas. But, you know, me being very frugal as I am, I'm like, okay, I don't want to pay a lot for gas because I'm not near my home gas station where I pay by cash. So I have to go to this other place. So I'm there, and like, I'm going to only put $5 in, you know, just enough to get me to the place, right? And then I'm kind of looking, and I'm thinking, okay, where exactly is this place? So I go driving and I go into a neighborhood that I think that's the place, but then I realize, no, that's not the place. So then I come back out and I go, where exactly is this place? Because I need to go and find this person. Then I thought to myself, well, I have a phone. Okay, now back then I didn't have a smartphone, you know, so I just had one of those dumb phones. Okay, so I said, I'll just call this person and then I'll figure out where it is. Because unfortunately, I did not have in my car, now I'm old school, you know, I still have paper maps. Okay, so, but I didn't have the one of that area where it was. And so I called up the person and I said, hey, you know, I'm here at this gas station and where exactly is your place? And they told me. So I said, okay, that's good. And so I drove out from the gas station and they said, turn right and go this way. So I started going right and I go, wait a minute, this doesn't look right, correct. So I said, okay, I did a U-turn. So I'm coming back the other way. And then I'm there and then I'm sitting at the light because I'm saying, oh, I'm going the other way. But then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, the person that told me knows where they live. So I should go by the directions that they told me to, right? Wouldn't that make sense? So eventually I turned back around and I got to that place. Now the thing that I was thinking about that bothered me and why I got lost is because I didn't have a map and I didn't have my GPS, right? Because if I had my GPS, I would have been fine. I would have known how to find that place. So the thing is, I want to ask you, like, when you go around and we're talking about faith, do you have your GPS to get you where you need to go? Okay, so this is my clicker. Okay, you know what a GPS is, right? You guys know what GPS? Okay, your people of faith. Okay, GPS, this is what my GPS is here. Okay. Your God-powered security. Okay. God-powered security. Now, what I'm saying is that because for us nowadays, you know, we're modern people, and we depend a lot upon our technology, right? There are a lot of things that if we need to know in life, like we don't even need to pray or even talk to other people. We just Google that, right? That will give you the answers, right? The things that we need, we say, wow, yeah, I just have this device, and this will get me where I need to go. And so a lot of our dependence and our security is placed upon that. Now, I bring that up because we're called to be people of faith. We're told that faith is actually essential to what we believe and how we live. And here, as we look in the book of Hebrews, which many of you are familiar with, especially this chapter, it's called like the Hall of Faith, okay, the Hall of Fame of people of faith. And it tells us about faith, living by faith, and gives us examples of people that live by faith. So my question to you this morning, though, is how much faith are you living by? You know, what is your faith placed in? So we're going to look at, for example, Abraham, who you're familiar with. But I want you to put on kind of like fresh eyes and ears onto this message about it. So first of all, going on is a reminder to us of what faith actually is. What is actually faith? Now, in Hebrews, if you're familiar with this, in chapter verse 1 of chapter 11, it says here, now this is a little bit different translation than what you have written in your bulletin, but it says here, now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things which are not being seen. Now, here at the beginning of this chapter, the writer there is explaining to us what faith is. And explains to us faith in regards to the substance of what it is, the honor of what it is, and then also how it works. Okay? So what it says is that faith, you know, or other version says, being sure of things that we do not see. So here it actually says, faith is an assurance of something that you do not see. And the word used there would be common in the Greeks that would refer to like having a piece of paper that tells you that you own a piece of property. And now I know that several of you, like you own homes, right? Or you've like refinanced your home and you have to pay a bunch of fees. And then one of the fees is that you also have to pay, you have to pay the title company, right? It's like, oh my goodness, you got to pay a you know, quite a bit of money just for them to look and to find out that you're the name of who the property belongs to, that your name is on there, right? But we know that that piece of paper is very important because it tells who this piece of property belongs to, right? You can't, not just because you live in the house or you're standing on the property, does it belong to you? But it says, no, this belongs to me. And so it's the same as like if you're gone to school and then, you know, your goal and objective, hope is that you'll get a piece of paper, but more than just a paper, you'll get a job, okay, that goes with it. But when you get your diploma, high school or college, it gets a piece of paper and it says that you have completed or finished a course of study. See, because there's some things that people cannot see. They don't see all the hours that you spent in class taking exams, but they see this piece of paper and says that, okay, this is the evidence of what you've achieved or what you have. And so that's what it's saying. Faith is this piece of paper that tells you what you have. Now, what do you have? Now, one of the things is understanding is talking about the promises of God. When God says something to you, in fact, as, you know, I use a tablet, but when, you know, those of you who have a Bible, hold it up, okay? If you have a Bible with you, hold it up, okay? Now, how do you know whether those things that are written in there are true? How do you know what God says or promises in that you will have? When it says that you will have peace, where it says that God will answer your prayers, where it says that you will have eternal life or forgiveness. How do you know? Because it's just written in there. How do you really know? It's by faith. It's by faith in believing that promise. Now, it says also, it says, this is assurance. It says this is what the ancients were commended for. And so what it's talking about, if you know in Hebrews, it's talking about those that had gone before, the prophets, the patriarchs. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those people that followed God, it says that that was an honorable thing. They believed God. They also had faith. So the thing is, understanding is this faith, but, you know, we understand it academically, but I want you to understand it experientially. So for a couple of you today, we're going to do a faith exercise, okay? And your faith will increase. So I'm going to need some volunteers here to help me with the faith. If you could help me, you and the keyboard. What's your name?
Brittany.
What?
Brittany.
Okay, Brittany, come up here. Okay, Brittany, I'm going to need you, okay, to come up here. Because I want you to see that, right? You have quite a bit of faith, okay? Okay, so I'm going to stand over here. And then I need someone else. Who's the guitarist? What's his name?
Brandon.
Okay, have you known him for a while? Okay. Okay, Brandon. Okay, you look like a guy that if you don't have a lot of faith, we will trust that you'll get more faith. Okay. So, Brandon, you're working? Or are you still in school? Oh, okay, okay. So, Brittany, okay, well, so, Brandon, I'm going to have you do this, okay? So, come here. Trust me, okay? I've been around for a while, and I'm sure your church insurance will cover this. Okay, so you'll be good. Okay, so have you know what these trust things are that you've done? Yeah. Okay. But trust me, though, okay, I'll give you a promise that your faith will increase, and you will not be harmed at all, okay? So no animals or plants will be harmed in this exercise. Okay, I don't know about you, but okay. So you're going to stand here. So Brittany, what I'm going to do, okay, so this is a trust thing, okay?
Oh, no.
No. Yeah, I can see that. Don't worry. Yeah, I can see him. Okay, so Brittany, just to make it, okay, so Hallelujah. Get on your knees, okay, because you're going to pray. Okay. Okay. Okay, it's Brandon, right? Okay, now we're going to help Brandon, okay? So, Brandon, you close your eyes, okay, and you tell him, Brandon, have faith in God, okay? Tell him, Brandon, have faith in God. Okay, okay. Now, I don't know about faith in Brittany, but okay, but you have faith in God, right? Okay, now, trust me, you are not going to be hurt at all, okay? So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell, oh, yeah, Pastor Frank, you can just be observing here, okay? So on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lean back, and you will be caught, okay? Okay, yes, okay, so Brittany, get ready. Okay, yeah, you need to get ready, okay, ready? Okay, hold on, okay, wait, no, okay, here. Okay, I'm going to have to put the, okay, so are you ready? Okay, you got a little bit, what? Close your eyes, wait, not till I tell you. Okay, this is an act of faith. Okay, ready, here we go, get your hands out, okay? Okay, ready? Okay, ready, okay, on three, fall back, okay, one. Okay, yeah, one, two, three, lean back, yo. Oh, okay, oh my goodness. You've been eating well for Thanksgiving, okay, thank you, okay. Okay, now, this is about faith. Okay, so Brandon, does your faith increase? Okay, now let me explain to you about faith, okay, because what it is that many of us, you're looking and you're seeing, oh my goodness, how's Brittany, you know, little Brittany here with what, I know you need to work out a little bit more with her, how she's going to hold him up, right? See, but you didn't know I was going to step in there, okay, which I needed to because of insurance reasons, okay, but okay, but let me explain to you. See, we look and we think, oh, God's just insurance. But understanding this, what it is that sometimes our God is too small. See, you're wondering, can someone, if there's someone bigger behind Brandon, then there's no problem, right? There's no problem at all with trusting that he won't get hurt, that he'll be safe, right? Because I was giving him a promise. I told him, you're not going to get hurt, right? Because I knew that I'm going to step in there. They're moving on here. So the issue with faith isn't so much sometimes how much faith or how big your faith is. Okay? My clicker here. You say, I'm doing... The question, though, is how big is your God? What is the size of God that you put your faith and trust in? Because for many of us, God is small. And we only make small requests from God. It's like, you know, like faith is like, oh, okay, it's Black Friday and God, I need to find a parking space at the mall. Okay? So, yeah, God, come through for me. Or, you know, I've been really studying really hard, God, and, you know, this computer science calculus is really tough. So I need you to come through for me to help me to get that. Right? No, not that we don't pray for those things. But oftentimes we're praying for things that are kind of like small and manageable. Because we don't know or we don't even have faith to believe that. God, you're a big God. Like you said, well, God, you did big things in the past. You parted the Red Sea. Actually, what it says here in Scripture, it says, yes, by faith we believe that God created the world. But God, I don't know if you can get me a job. I really don't know. But you created the world, yes. How big is your God? How big is your God? Now, I understand that as we're going on, what faith means is believing in a big God. Okay, he's pretty big. He's immeasurable. Okay? He's immeasurable. Uncontainable. But faith, what it says here, is living to please God. If you look here in verse 5, we're talking about Enoch, a man named Enoch. He in Hebrews 11. He was taken from this life. He did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. See, now understanding that, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are all told that we need to live by faith. It's not an option. So it means that he had a testimony, okay? And he lived a life that was pleasing to God. And it says that God rewards those that seek after him. Now, one thing is that how do you live a life of faith? The word there when it says seeking, there in Hebrews, this is Hebrews 11, verse 6. He says it is, because he comes to those who believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. Oftentimes that word seek is also used to describe prayer. So one way to see and understand if you're a person that lives by faith is what your prayer life is like. Because sometimes I just depend on, you know, I have my education, I have my intelligence, I have my resources. So oftentimes I depend on those things. I'm not fully depending upon God. I'm not trusting God, I'm going to fall fully back on him. Okay, I gotta check to make sure I got my insurance, you know, set. I got to make sure that there's a mattress there. Okay, I'm going to call my relatives and say, okay, be my backup. But how many times are we allowing ourselves to be in a situation where it's like, well, if God doesn't come through, then I'll fail? See, understanding about faith and what faith is that faith is not a noun of something that you just own and hold on to. To me, as it describes your faith, is a verb. It's something that you do. Because faith here is it's described as having faith in God. It's relational. Yeah. So think about faith. I also think about, okay, for Brittany, yeah. Like she was saying, oh, my arms are like this. So Brittany, you know how to get stronger? You're going to have to exercise some, okay? If you start doing that, even lifting weights, you know, of some kind, you know, that your muscles will grow. And that's how faith is. For us to get more faith, you have to exercise it. You have to do things in which it's going to require you to do faith. So even something, praying, is a faith exercise. Yeah? Reading the Word of God is a faith exercise. Serving the Lord is a faith exercise. You know, doing the things which Scripture says are faith exercises. So the challenge, and I think the challenge for not only this church here, but many Asians, like I said, is that we tend to put trust in ourselves. Or, you know, as we say, well, in God we trust, you know, everyone else pays cash. But we put our trust in our security is in our family, in our hard work. And God is only there for the emergencies. But he's not like the primary person. So to be a person of faith is that it requires that you put your full weight or trust upon God. And see, that's what we see. Okay, moving on with my clicker here. So what we see with Abraham is one of the things that we see principles of faith is that he was someone that was willing to go to a new place. He's willing to step out and go to some place he had not been. So it says here in verse 8, it says, Abraham, he was called to a place he would later receive an inheritance, even though he would not know where he was going. Now, I don't know about you, but I always want to know where I'm going. Like last August, I had an opportunity with my wife. We had a chance to go to Greece to actually go on the the journeys of Paul, you know, Paul as he went through Europe and how he brought the gospel there. And I want to know, okay, where are we going? You know, you get the itinerary for the tour, and you're paying for it, and you want to see what are the cities and the locations that you're going. So imagine, though, in those days that, you know, people actually for centuries or generations lived in the same place. It's kind of like in old China. You know, people, you know, for centuries, you know, generations lived in the same village. Okay, same place. Now, I don't know where my ancestral one is, but it's somewhere there in southern China. But, you know, my father had gone back there at one time. But people didn't really move unless they really had to. But even if they did, you know, so some of you maybe have the immigrant experience, or you have people in your family that have immigrated, at least they kind of knew where they were going to go, right? Because they know, well, at least this place, I have a relative or friend that says that, hey, there's work here. This is where we're going. But imagine it says that Abraham, though, he's commended as a person of faith. Okay. Because it says that he didn't know where he was going. He said, God said, just go here. And he said, okay, I'm going. There wasn't a road map. He didn't know what the final destination was. And then it says here, he also lived as someone that was mobile. He said he lived as a stranger in a foreign country. Okay. He lived in tents. And what it meant there is that he looked at his life as being only temporary on earth. It says here, because he was looking for something beyond that. It says in verse 10, he was looking for the city with its foundations, and architect and builder is God. So actually, he was looking towards heaven. He was looking towards eternity. Now, the thing is, what the challenge for you and I is to live as a person of faith is to look beyond the current world that we're in. See, nowadays for our generation, we don't think or talk a lot about heaven because, in a way, we have the resources and ability to create what we call like heaven on earth. We can make our nice homes. You know, we can go to nice resorts. You know, we sometimes we'll go to a really luxurious vacation place and go, wow, this is like heaven. See? And the allure of the world and actually the lie of the world is that this is it. Right? There's some people, and maybe you even have that. Yeah, people have their bucket list. It's like, these are the things that I have to do before I die. This is what I really need to experience. Because if I don't experience this, then I'm not really living life to the fullest. And then some of you live with the thing of this fear, which is called the fear of missing out. Like you're following your friends on your social network, you know, social feed, and you go, oh, look at, she's doing this. Oh, she's eating that. Oh, you know, he's skydiving. Oh, my goodness, I'm missing out on the excitement and all this great stuff in life. I said, but we're missing it. See, we're created for God's pleasure, and the greatest pleasure in life, the greatest experience that we're called to is being in perfect union and harmony with God. It says that what is here is really only this, just a shadow. Yeah, let's move on here. So keep on moving on. Go to new places here. Keep on going. See, the excitement of living a life of faith. Okay, I'm an old Star Trek fan, and that, you know, the motto was that to boldly go where no one has gone before. Right? That's what made it exciting, is that you would go to new places. So let me tell you, tomorrow all of you are going to go to a new place. tomorrow you're going to be living a life of faith. You know why? Because no one has been to tomorrow. None of you right here, no one on earth has been to tomorrow, because the earth hasn't rotated yet to get there. But tomorrow you are going to be in a new place. And depending on how you look at it, we'll be on a new adventure. But it's whether you're living by faith and going and being obedient to what God calls you to do. So go on to the next one here. So we're understanding what it is that God gives a promise. And verse 11 says, by faith, Abraham, even though his past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. He was considered faithful and made him a promise. So God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham stepped out on that promise. God said to go, and he went. Now, you have to understand that the thing is, when Abraham was given this promise, give you a little bit of timeline, and he got a little bit impatient at time, but you have to understand it took some time for God to fulfill this. Okay. At the age of 75, we had the first conversation with God. Okay. Then at 86, he waited around. God said, promised him. So I said, well, nothing's happening. So he decided that he was going to have a child through his maidservant. And so he had Ishmael at 86. And then when he got to about 100, that's then when Isaac was born. And then Sarah was 90. So it took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. And he passed away at 175. Now, if you read in the scripture, Abraham, he talked to God about 8 times in 100 years. So it's like God spoke to him every like 12 and a half years. That's a long time in between things. But he believed and trusted God for that promise. Okay, while I have this picture up here, these are just briefly, this friend of mine, this Justin, his wife Lijan, Gracie, and I knew him from Northern California. He was a Silicon Valley engineer, and he was working there and then went through a series of things with work and kind of got laid off. And he's thinking, but, you know, got a good severance package. He's thinking, well, what should I do? And I talked to him. He said, well, and I said, well, how many times in your life are you going to get, like, 6 months' pay? So he said, well, you know, I've always felt that God's called me to mission. So Youth with a Mission, they have this school of discipleship. Should I go or not? I said, well, go, right? So I went to that, and after that, he came back, and his wife said, well, we feel called to mission. So he said, well, they have a school of mission training in Colorado. So should we go or not? I said, yeah, you should go. So they went. And then later on, they said, well, we're going to go to Asia, and we're going to go do church planting. So they sold their house and sold off stuff, and they went. They were following God and what God told them to do and give them a promise. So they're one of my faith heroes, because they're someone that said, hey, we're not following after the Asian American dream. We're not following that. We're going to follow God and do what God says. So the thing is, though, to do that is risky. That's what faith is. It's taking risks, calculated risks. Okay. The thing is, though, when you take a risk, there's a chance that you could fail. And so sometimes what I see is that you want to be a person of faith. It means that you're going to be able to do, or you will do things that if God's not in it, it may fail. So here's the thing. If you're afraid of failure, you will not live by faith. Several years ago when I was in NorCal and I was pastoring at a church, and I talked to my wife and said, you know what, I'm really wondering if I'm living by faith or not. Now, don't ever ask that question to your wife, because if you do, God will make you do something that will cause you to live by faith. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm getting comfortable here, and I think I need to make a change. And she said, okay. So at the time, 3 young kids, and I said, okay, I'm just going to leave my pastorate here, put in my resignation. And I said, okay, God, I trust I'll get a job. Now, I didn't have another one lined up. Okay, so after that, about 3 months later, job not coming around. I need to do something. So I said, oh, okay, how do you get an emergency teaching credential? And then my wife was like, okay, I'll start nannying for a friend, okay? And it was like, oh my goodness. It caused me a lot of anxiety, okay? And there were times where I have to get a job every day. So what it is that I get a call from an automated system. But the issue is if I don't pick up the call and punch in the numbers, I don't get the job. So I remember one time, like, I'm riding my bike and, you know, I'm going around. I get a call. I hear it ringing, but I got my bag in a little Ziploc baggie. So I'm there and I'm opening it up. You know, by the time I stop and open up, it's like, ah, the call's gone. And I'm really upset at that baggie because it's like, man, I'm not going to get a job. I go, God, I need the job. Okay, 5 minutes later, I get a call, but this time the phone's not in the baggie. Or I'm there, I'm sitting at the dinner table, and I remember, like, Westy, at that time, he's young, and I'm telling kids that, you guys have to pray. Dad will get a job. And then I'm thinking, oh, no. God, what if I'm telling my kids this, and I don't get a job tomorrow? That's going to be like, you'll look bad, and maybe they won't have faith in you anymore, because, like, you're not coming through. And it's like, whose problem is it? That's God's problem, right? But you have to have faith to say, okay, God, I trust your promise. You say you'll take care of me, meet my daily bread. So we'll pray. And thank you, Jesus. I get a job for that day. See, the thing is, though, is what you want to do is not do what your natural instincts tell you to do. It says there, Abraham was obedient to what God told him to do. Okay. Go on to the next point here. So the last thing is what? Why live a life of faith? Okay. Now, you do receive a reward. There's blessing when you live a life of faith. There is eternal reward. Now, understanding that sometimes that the promise that you get, let's move on here, okay, is that the promise that is given, you may not receive that answer in this lifetime. Okay, in Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them at a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. They had not been thinking the country had left. They would have had the opportunity to return. They're longing for a better country. So yeah, God calls you to live a life of risk and faith, but it's not for you. It's not for you. It's for other people. Okay, let's go on here. Okay, next one here. Okay, next one. Next one here. See, understanding this, really what living a life of faith is not for yourself. It's for the sake of other people. And so, like I said, that was back in 2005, you know, the Lord told me, you know, leave doing pastoral ministry and start doing campus work. Right? And so I started doing that. And then in 2008, I moved down here to Southern California and started doing that. And, you know, sometimes it's been challenging, okay? Sometimes I don't feel as secure. But this was several years ago. These are some of the students I had met at the school. I think I told you the story about, okay, the girl giving the two peace sign here. That's Kiwi. She's from Taiwan. I met Kiwi, and through her ministry and all, Kiwi came to know the Lord, and I baptized her down in Long Beach. The blessing was that after that, Kiwi went back home. She was an English major. And then she went home. Her life was really changed and transformed. Shared the gospel with her family. Her mother and her sister came to believe. And a couple years ago, I went back to Taiwan there and was meeting Kiwi, talking to her. Met her mom. Found out that her mom is one of the agents, one of the managers that works for Prudential Insurance. In Taiwan, in Taipei, at the headquarters. And you know, I went there, and she invited me to go there, and she said, oh, I want you to pray for our office and for our coworkers, because there were several other Christians there. And he said, you know, whenever we have a holiday party, we're bringing a pastor in here and we're preaching the gospel to them. You know, they can do that there. And I was going, amen, hallelujah. This is all worth it. It's worth every moment and every challenge when you step out in faith, when you see someone else's life change for eternity. So ending here is understanding that the reward is the blessing of seeing God use you. Seeing God use you to bring about change and hope in someone's life. So this season, I don't know what it's going to be. It might just be inviting someone else that you know that doesn't have many friends to be a friend with them. Share with them life of Christ. It might be investing in something that will make eternal difference with someone. You know, in our family, we tell them every Christmas for how many years, we told them, okay, we're buying through World Vision ducks and goats, okay, to help a family somewhere else. You know, one day, we trust we'll meet them, see what God's doing. We're investing in the kingdom. We're investing in the lives of other people. That's what the life of faith is. So, as you leave here today, you're going to need your GPS. You're going to need your God-powered security. Because you're going somewhere that you've never been before, which is tomorrow. No one's been there. And I trust, though, that you're going to be meeting someone that you've never met before. Or God will lead you to meet or talk to someone you've never met before, so that you can share with them the good news, the hope, the transformational power of the gospel. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are God that loves us and that you're God that gives us the promise and gives us faith. So I just ask for each one, Lord, this morning. I don't know what you're calling them to do, but I pray that this morning that they would have a picture and understanding that you're a lot bigger God that they could ever imagine or think. And God, that you would increase their faith in you and that you would give them courage and obedience to take the risks for you. I ask this in Christ's name.